Hello, business bus family members. Today, I have Mario Hernandez from Austin, Texas. The gentleman did two exits and he's in the verge of launching his third startup. An interesting personality where we can learn from why he exited his organization, why he started the third venture, what he learned during this exit process, why even we exited, how he got the offer, and how he's growing his current company, what is his strategy. We have so many questions to Mario. So Mario, welcome on the show. Please share a few words to our audience.
Well, thanks again, Arun, for the kind introduction. Extremely excited to be here. Excited to have this discussion with you and just be able to collaborate and amplify the entrepreneurial spirit. So thanks again for having me.
Thank you, Mario. You know, I know many small businesses, founders start with the vision of, man, I need to get a good exit out of this, or I need to retire out of this, you know. So, but you started two companies, and there's a third one, and you sold first two, right? So I would like to understand, I would like to dig through and go through your mind of what it is to start a business. Did you start the intention of selling it, or what kind of business you started? Help us to walk through your first startup journey.
No, wonderful. And that's an excellent question. So I'll be extremely transparent. When I got into Babson College up in Boston, it was already filled with incredible students who might have already built out three or four businesses. I didn't even know I wanted to become an entrepreneur, but I left and I graduated with that entrepreneurial spirit ingrained in me completely. And so I went back to Latin America after 4 years in the U.S., knowing that I wanted to cause impact. But at the same time, I also humbly realized that I wanted to enter industries that maybe I wasn't well-versed in. And there's this theory in the world of startups that you have to be a tech founder, for example. And so I realized early on I wasn't a tech founder. I did not know how to code or program. But business is business, and the foundations and the principles that make business work ultimately is what make it a success. And so I realized a very strong opportunity back in Latin America that was the emerging market of enterprise mobility, IoT. It was just starting. This is around 2012. Mm-hmm. And so seeing that opportunity, I have a long history with family in the pharmaceutical industry. And so I started to realize that the need for automation was there. Now, to make these startups a success, and if you wish to see them become successful for plenty of years, that's where I think that you have to have the most brilliant minds on your side, the right team, the right people to make it happen. And so that vision of what you're discussing, a potential exit, did start to play in for myself, where I knew that I wanted to have a good traction, a good success story for whether it was a year or two, to be able to build up that traction and basically move on that vision that I had to the right people who could have potentially the team, the strength, the financial capabilities to actually take that even further. And so fortunately, that vision panned out, and I was able to sell that business in 2 years' time.
So Mario, very interesting. So you are not a tech founder, but the first company you started is tech, and you sold out. And so you also revealed the secret in your answer is forming the right team members. So I've been talking to many, many, many founders, and one of the area they struggle is how to find the right co-founders, how to find the team. So I would like to dig through a little bit more on this model. So can you help me to understand, how did you find the core team for your first tech business?
No, and that's an excellent question. So I was fortunate enough, and still am, that my co-founder has been my brother, and we built out these businesses together. Now, nevertheless, he's not a tech founder either. And so we realized that, again, we need to start looking into personal networks. You need to start looking for the people that might guide you in these turbulent waters. And so one of the things that founders, I'd suggest, sometimes don't invest in as much is in those mentors, in that guidance. So from my university years, I had an excellent teacher, good friend, mentor. We've been friends now for about 10 years or more. His name's Glenn Kelly. He's a professor of mine. And so he started guiding me. I said, okay, what are you building? Where are you going? Get in touch with these X amount of people. In my first startup, I had to deal with SAP world that I wasn't well versed in. And so I got out there and started reaching out just for guidance, friendly conversations, get their insights, get their input, et cetera. And that allowed me to have a much wider perspective as to, okay, who do I really need to have by my side to be able to now take this to the next level? And so you start looking for those partnerships. You might have the tech, which I was able to negotiate with a company from Hyderabad. They had an incredible competitive advantage and sales pricing point that allowed us to be able to come into a market that to many people was saturated. It clearly wasn't. But the tech already garnered a lot of interest. Now, between that tech and with the right people guiding us, we were able to set up alliances with companies in Ecuador, companies in Chile, Colombia, Panama, that already had an established reputation, that were well known with the credibility anyway to provide it to the market. And through those alliances, we started then propelling the solution forward and the platform forward. So sometimes you don't need the recognition yourself, let those that already have it out there build it forward, and you're basically working in the background making a success story.
So Mario, you are a hustler, right? I can tell you, you know, most of the entrepreneurs are hustlers because, you know, they believe in themselves. And more than that, you know, the one thing which I really love about your story is because you're open to get the mentorship, you're open to learn, and you're open to allow others to succeed in your journey, Mario. I think that is a great, great characteristic of entrepreneur. That's a great. So let's talk about a non-tech venture you did. You know, I know you told that you exited with 5x return on the first exit. Congratulations. And you also did a great exit with $0 investment, six-figure exit in the second venture related to a non-tech industry, water treatment. So Mario, how the jump from tech to a non-tech water treatment venture? Tell me about that.
And so it's all... I knew right from the start that everything that we were doing wanted to be impact driven. And I think that the best startups usually, for some reason, start with that personality trait. So I used to travel to Dominican Republic, for, you know, tourism, you know, with friends and family. And I started to realize that there was always a problem. We had to purchase bottles of water every single time that we went. Now I was fortunate or accustomed that in Boston, you would just drink from the tap, and that was absolutely normal. And when I got there, you know, all they would warn you was don't ever drink from the tap. Don't even receive a glass of water. It has to come from the bottle. And that just completely destroyed me because I'm a huge ocean lover. I was always scuba diving, and I would see mass amounts of plastic and plastic consumption and bottles in the ocean. And so I knew that there had to be a way to resolve that issue. Now, as you mentioned, I'm not an engineer. And so turning myself from a tech company and exit now into a hands-on business that's all about engineering, I realized, again, to the same principles. Okay, what can we make happen? What's a good product that we could bring to the island, that we could import to the island? But we're going to need to have the best team of engineers to make this happen. And so I flew to Copenhagen, to Denmark, and brokered this negotiation with Kinetico Inc. They were, again, extremely welcoming. Their first question was, are you an engineer? I was like, no, but this is the business plan. This is how we're going to make it happen. This is the vision that we have. And they absolutely loved it. They gave me the trust as well, which I'll always be grateful for. And we started with the first container, bringing it to the island, and then little by little, the same tactics. Who are the key players? Who are some of the major architects in the island? It's a growth market. If you just do a few installations that resemble that new lifestyle, that people can now drink this purified water in a safe fashion with good taste. And then we started making installations for free at different academies, for different foundations, because it's impact driven. And that started to resonate. So incredibly enough, one of the first clients really that saw the potential in all of this, after 6 years' time, ended up being the one that purchased the business as well. So keep those relationships close, value your team who believe in your vision. So they made every installation with a lot of passion, were there when every little problem would arise. And it's incredible that, again, you don't have to be an engineer yourself. to surround yourself with people that are committed to that vision, believe in the product, believe in what you're building, and have the expertise that you have to listen to as well.
Got it. Got it. Maury, so when you say impact-driven, you know, normally, and I put it in a simple term, you know, problem solver, correct? So you take the problem and you come in to solve it, you assemble a team, and you go just try to solve the problem. That is awesome journey, Mario. So let's talk about the exit, right? You know, why you start a company, why you exit? I'm coming from a traditional where we build the company for 10, 20 years and I pass on to the next generation. So exit is not even an option in our generation, but now things are changing. But why you as a startup fellow, you know, why you decided to sell? What made you to make that decision?
With these companies, and I admit, I saw great opportunities. I saw a problem to solve that also fulfilled me in that regard. However, there was this lack of passion at the same time that I knew I wasn't building the company that I wanted to build from scratch, which is the one that I'm currently building, this latest startup, which is Nova. And so it was in business, but I didn't develop the product, for example. Kinetical is already an established company for over 50 years, and I just saw a good problem with a solution, importation to the island. The same thing with the SAP world, enterprise mobility and IoT solutions. I didn't build the tech from the ground up. I saw an excellent company in India, and I was all about moving it towards Latin America and scaling that. And so with these funds that we were able to recollect, and more importantly than the funds themselves, is the experience, the knowledge that you start to amass. That's where I realized that I was ready. I was ready to now scale this forward for the current startup that I have. That was an idea was conceived really in 2014, but we weren't ready. The market wasn't ready. The tech wasn't ready as well. And so this entire combination is just kind of in the back burner, but you always have it in the back of your mind. And so all of a sudden, you know, through the years, they start passing by. I got married. I had a son who's 19 months now. And when you start those first businesses, one thing to do it, let's say as a founder without a family. Now when the family also gets involved, you really want to transmit those dreams as well, that courage, that need to build something that is also out of passion, that purpose led. And so when I came in, I knew that I wanted to now sell the water treatment company. Again, leave it in great hands because you care about something when you build it. And we were able to do just that with the right team to make sure that they continue the vision. But now invest the time into building the passion, which is Noble. And fortunately, I have an incredible family that has supported me. We're now in Austin, Texas, building this out and living the third startup dream, which is just incredible.
Awesome, Mario. So, you know, normally I would say, I don't have the exact data to mention this, but definitely a decent size of the founders, they wanted to struggle with the startup they started, even though they feel like it's not connected, but still they wanted to struggle and struggle and struggle and let the business go down. So what you did is like you relieved yourself from that organization. Also, you left the organization to somebody who can take this and grow. That is a very wise decision, Mario. I really, really, I'm very proud of you. So let's talk about this Noble, right? What is this new venture? You know, I'm very excited to learn about it.
No, thank you, Arun. Well, Noble is very exciting. We are a B2B to C SaaS platform focused completely on revolutionizing corporate philanthropy by leveraging tech and AI to be able to reduce turnover costs, increment employee engagement, and customer retention. Mm-hmm. And so we're turning philanthropy upside down by the way that we're doing it, with a philosophy of empowering everybody to get involved, dismantling the theory that there has to be significant wealth to be a philanthropist. We believe that in the world that we live in now, with the tech that is available at our disposal, the skills available, anybody can create change, anybody can drive impact, and we're doing that with Noble. And so we're currently in the market. We were in a beta phase for about 3 or 4 months. Unfortunately, that went extremely well. We recollected about $500,000 in funds and investments from angel investors. And now is the moment to start scaling, start selling, the business community, show them that there's another way. Taking this entire experience that has been very transactional, while very effective, while all the good that they have done, we want to go from transactional to relational. And the way that we're going to be able to do that is with Noble.
Got it. Amen. Awesome. So very exciting, Mario, about your vision. So you think that there is no existing product to address the problem you have identified?
So there are existing solutions that focus on different segments. So when you think about employee turnover costs, which is one of the most detrimental factors for any business, it usually relies down to leadership, managerial communication, corporate culture, which are never going to go away, and they have to focus on that. Nevertheless, with Generation Z coming up on the rise, and then it's going to be about 27% of the workforce now, one of the biggest factors, values, or principles that's so important to them is social impact. And these are the next future CEOs, presidents, leaders, managers of these organizations. And so we focused on absolutely that. Being able to present a new solution that allows them to still focus on their employees, but involve them in the corporate giving process. They very much listen to their employees in the sense of the volunteering hours, which is, again, absolutely fantastic. But we see what resonates with employees. Everybody has a different cause that they care about, whether it's personal, whether it's a passion that they're just trying to improve upon. And so we want to make sure that not only the employees, but the individuals, people like yourself, myself, their consumers, can get involved in that process as well. And so we just wanted to not reinvent the wheel, but improve it and absolutely involve everybody in the process.
Got it. So Mario, that is a very interesting answer that you said. And, you know, my I would like to understand, you know, you raised almost $500,000 seed funding on this venture, Noble. So what is the process? I know that the audience could be established a business owner or in dynamic person wants to start their venture. So what advice you would give to the startup people who wants to raise funding for their venture?
Well, one, that is a mistake that I made, and I'll definitely share that, is don't spend too much time on your MVP or seeking perfection, which is one of the factors that was just absolutely terrible for ourselves in our first startup. You even focus on the right colors, and you have this entire vision that's all in your head. And as good as that is, you're wasting time, you're wasting money, because there are all these different associated costs, monthly costs, whether it's servers. And so you're building up these costs. And not only that, you're losing time where the competition is maybe already out there with a lesser or inferior product, but they're getting much more tangible, valuable feedback from potential customers that you're already in tunnel vision, still living in this founder world, not getting any feedback whatsoever. So that's one thing that I'll definitely say. If you have something, whether it's 40% done, get it out there, and then build the next remaining 60% with incredible intel, data, feedback from ultimately your potential customers. And that's not only gonna make your fundraising round much easier, but it shows this maturity to your potential investors. It shows the courage that you have to already get out there. And it shows your willingness to listen to the market, to adapt and show that flexibility. And so when I made that first mistake in my first startup, I told myself, I'm never gonna do that again. And fortunately, with Noble, we've been able to do just that now, is get out there, show ourselves. It's okay to make mistakes. It's the startup world. But that adaptability has shown to our investors that we're in this, we're serious, we're well experienced, and they obviously are betting on a good business model. They're placing their trust into the founders, into the team. So if you can showcase that you're a good team and you're willing, again, to listen and to learn, business models can adapt, they can pivot, they can shift, but the founders really are the key. And so just be a good person in that regard, listen more than you speak, And then you're going to find that fundraising round a lot easier.
So Mario, very well said, very well said. But at this time, I would like to highlight that one of the services we provide from one of our companies called CapDigital Solutions, we provide a service called Idea Booster, exactly that helps founders like you to do what you just said. You know, what we do is like for less than $5,000, we completely design your app. We are building it. It's a design prototype. You can able to navigate on your mobile phone. You can able to navigate on your desktop, show to your stakeholders, show to the users, get the feedback, perfect that, you know, show again, get the corrections, perfect it. Then we will give you a very optimum cost. And also we will give you a roadmap, like what is a minimum viable product. Don't build this function, but you know how much it's going to cost. So we really helped hundreds of startup entrepreneurs, Mario. So I am very glad by hearing your feedback and experience that what we are doing is definitely opted for the market. And if people are listening, if you need that help, please visit our website, capdigital.com. I'm sure my team will give the link in the below. And also visit noble.one. And if you want to know Mario's product, and the link will be in the bottom. So, and also feel free to comment on, you know, Mario's success, you know, what you think and what interests you on this conversation. Our goal is to spread the knowledge. We can grow only by sharing, only by learning. So Mario, we are at the end of the show. If you want to give any final wordings to our listeners before we end the show, feel free to so. Time is yours.
Well, first of all, Arun, thank you for the time. It's been wonderful to discuss with you. Two, excellent service that you're providing for the founders. I wish I would have known this myself about 10 years ago. Definitely worthwhile to go down that path. And three, for the founders out there, again, build a support network that goes beyond family members. They'll give you unconditional support, which is fantastic. But you need also to surround yourself with those mentors, that guidance, people who aren't afraid of giving you the raw feedback, that harsh feedback that sometimes is a little more difficult to hear, but will save you not only money, but time and a lot of headaches. And three, founders to founders, join the communities. Many times we find ourselves completely so involved in our own startup looking for investors that you forget that there are other founders who've already been there that can teach you a thing or two. It's fantastic to always reach out. And even more so, people that you can help as a founder. There's always someone else a step behind you, and you can provide them that guidance. You're going to learn a lot from that experience. So just support each other in this journey. And again, thank you for the time today.
Good luck, Mario. Wish you good luck. And all the listeners, we are wishing you good luck. Whatever the efforts you are taking, put your sincere effort, keep open-minded, and try to solve the problem. Good luck, team.